You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, folks, we're into the Friendly Atheist segment of our show. Does that mean anything to you all? Have you ever been to this website, The Friendly Atheist? Have you ever heard of them? We've got a bunch of bloggers coming up. The Naked Pastor, The Friendly Atheist, the guy from The Ooze, Spencer Burke, and Tim Challies. He's actually local, but he's got the number one Christian blog out there. So we're going to have the left and the right talking to each other. We're going to have a pastor who basically stepped away after 25 years of ministry and just said, forget this. We're going to find out what's going on in David Hayward's life, the Naked Pastor. But right now, it is the one and only, the Friendly Atheist. Hemant, you were on our show, oh man, I think, did we not have you on real quick with Jim Henderson, like about 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's been a while.
Well, thanks for coming back. I think, if I remember correctly, we had a bad telephone line connection because we had both of you going at the same time, and it just, there was some weird audio thing. So now we can give you some proper attention.
I appreciate it.
First thing I got to get out of the way is the pronunciation of your name. It's Hemant, right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Okay. And your last name is pronounced Mehta?
Yep.
I'm so good at this.
You are.
I should be.
You're
radio.
The best, Drew.
Thank you.
That's why it's the Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, you still an atheist?
I am. It's been well over like 12 years now. So, yeah, even with the little foray into Christianity there a few years ago, I'm still an atheist.
But you came out of Jainism.
Yeah.
I think now I understand why you're this you know, peaceful, easy feeling, non-violent, get along with everybody kind of dude. Because did that have a big influence on you or not so much?
Well, I guess I don't really have much to compare it to, but I mean, Jainism isn't a violent religion in any sense of the way. It's not like
all religions are violent.
Actually, you know what's weird? I go speak to a lot of atheist groups, and I ask them if they've even heard of Jainism.
No, they
when
wouldn't.
I was growing up, no one had ever heard of it. And the strange thing is, a lot of people have, and I think part of the reason is you read books by like Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins. And they say, you know, all religion is bad, or Christopher Hitchens says religion poisons everything. But guys like Harris and Dawkins even say, you know, if the whole world were fundamentalist Jains, yeah, we wouldn't be so horribly off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's really strange. But, I think it does help that I came from a Jain background. I don't have a lot of, you know, Christian baggage or religious luggage to carry around with me.
Yeah, and that's a head start, let me tell you, right there. Okay, many of our listeners probably don't know about Jainism. So real quickly, it started back in the days of Tarzan, right? No?
It's been around for a while.
Okay.
The biggest tenet, I guess, is it preaches nonviolence above everything else. So if you meet a Jain, they're likely vegetarian. They teach you don't be violent physically, obviously, but even in your mind, don't think bad thoughts.
So isn't this just like hippie stuff? Well, like how do you separate like Baha'i hippie sort of kumbaya stuff from Jainism?
Yeah, philosophically, it's very positive and upbeat. Where I draw the line is they do believe in reincarnation. They do believe that...
Holy cow.
Yeah, they believe that you can be in a better position in life. You could become a supernatural being yourself. That stuff doesn't hold a lot of water for me, which is why I don't call myself a Jain anymore. But in terms of its philosophy, it's actually a very, like you said, very peaceful, kind religion.
Right, right. Okay, I'll believe you. I'll believe you. The whole experience you had with the you said foray into the Christian world a few years ago with the...
Visiting churches here and there.
Yeah, I sold my soul on eBay stuff. Let's bring people up to speed on that one again, because we did something similar here in the show, which is why we had you on a few years ago, where we called it the Five Churches Experiment. I paid Sabrina the Pagan and Taylor the Agnostic $100 to... And we visited five churches, you know, each church we split the money kind of thing. And so it was like $500. The ad in the Toronto Star was worth $500. I was like going into debt for this stupid thing. And then they blogged about it. And man, did they have some great things to say. I also took them to the Benny Hinn show.
Oh my God.
In town when they came, the circus came to town.
That had to be fun.
Oh, it was fantastic. Fantastic. So, but this is, I mean, I teef the idea from you and Jim Henderson. Give us a synopsis of what went down for you guys.
Yeah. You know, when I left Jainism and I became an atheist, that was, like I said, over 12 years ago. Well, I've never been to a Christian church or a mosque or a synagogue, so I put this thing on eBay that said, you could basically bid on where I go to worship, and I'll document it. Like you said, those guys blogged about it. I'll do that sort of thing. And Jim Henderson, this pastor, the former pastor from Seattle, he won the auction, and instead of having me go to one church for like 50 weeks in a row that I owed him, He said, why don't you go to 10 different Christian churches of his choosing, and I would just write about my experiences on his new ministry's website.
How much did he pay you?
$504, which I want to say was donated, but because it wasn't about the money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, $504 is what he bid. So basically, like, he put an ad up there like you did, in a sense.
I did the same thing afterwards. I put my soul on eBay, which is saved, as many people say. And I said, look, I'm happy to be quite open and to hear anybody, and take me to your meetings or whatever you want. Yeah. I'm a Jesus guy, but I'd love to, to experience whatever you want me to experience. And I got nothing.
Man, maybe we took the idea away from everyone else.
Yeah, I think it's snuffed out for
but
sure.
But it was an awesome experience. I mean, Jim was a great guy to work with. He actually started a new program called Church Rater, R-A-T-E-R, which is kind of like a Yelp for churches. You go to a church, you go to the website, and you can give it like a 1-to-5-star review.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there anything that you, learned about yourself that maybe was surprising ever since you began your career as the friendly atheist? Because you got a whole identity there.
Yeah, it's. I'm kind of glad. I think when people go now and I say, I did this thing where I sold my soul on eBay, they're like, you did what? No, tell us about your website, which is strange. But I think the biggest thing I've learned over the past few years, at least when it comes to religion, when it comes to Christianity, I mean, yeah, you hear a lot of things that, like, the religious right is doing politically, some of the crazy beliefs that they have. At the same time, I was basically opened up to this whole world of Christianity that I didn't even know existed. People like, Jim Wallace, the religious left, the people who may believe in Jesus, but they also believe in church-state separation. They believe in equality for gay and lesbians, and I didn't really know that side existed.
Wow. Okay, so again, as an atheist, as the friendly atheist, I mean, you're so stinking friendly, you probably don't get hate mail from anybody, do you?
I really don't get a lot of hate mail. Now, I should say, when I may be, like, friendly atheist is on the banner, but it doesn't mean I can't be critical of religion, and I don't shy away from any of that. And I do get some emails saying, like, hey, you said this thing critical of what this church did. That's not very friendly of you. Well, it doesn't mean I just stay away from any controversy or, not share my opinion on crazy things.
Yeah. The friendly atheist with testicular fortitude.
I like that. That should be the subtitle.
Does that work? How many years have you been doing this friendly atheist for now?
I think that's been around for almost 4 years now.
4 years. Okay. You look back 4 years of who you were then and who you are now. What's different?
Yeah.
What's different about you?
Huh. I think I'm probably more of an atheist now than I ever was before.
Huh.
But the difference is now I have a little bit of power is the wrong word for it, but I guess if I can say something or put some, share someone's story, or if someone needs help because they're an atheist, in a family of really strong religious people, I have more of an ability to help them now because, people are visiting the website and people have so many great comments to offer. I think one of the things I love about the website more than anything else is if you read the comment threads on pretty much all the postings, especially the ones that ask for advice or things like that, you get some really great dialogues. And it doesn't mean that everyone agrees with each other, but you get a real sense of community. You get a real sense of that, a good dialogue. And that's really hard to find, especially on blogs when you go online anywhere.
So you've created the cheers of atheism.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of Christians comment on the site, too. They don't necessarily agree with what I have to say, but, when an atheist asks a question, the Christians don't shy away from offering their opinions, too, and they could be just as insightful and just as helpful as the atheists are.
Okay, just to the definition of atheism,
yeah.
There is no God, as opposed to agnosticism, which says, I'm not really sure, correct?
That's not the definition I would give for either word. I mean, for me, atheism means, I don't believe in a God. Does that mean I can prove to you there isn't one? Well, no, but I also can't prove to you, the flying spaghetti monster doesn't exist. I don't believe in God. That's how I would define an atheist. In terms of agnostic, I think you had it closer. Yeah, I don't have enough information, so I'm not going to take a stand either way.
Right.
To me, a lot of the agnostics I meet tend to be much more on my side in terms of not believing in God than they are to a religious side that says, not only is there a God, but it's this specific, brand of God.
Hammond, do you think agnostics are wimps?
No, I think that they're just, they're not sure if they want to take a stance. I think a lot of agnostics feel atheism's way further on the end of the spectrum than they feel comfortable saying for themselves. I just don't think it's that far to the end of the spectrum.
Okay. See, I used to get bugged. See, I guess I've got the wrong definition, because I always had it in my head that atheism, the definition of it is there is no God.
Yeah, I think Richard Dawkins in The God Delusion, even, I mean, he's like the poster boy for atheism.
And he's certainly there is no God.
Well, actually, in his book, The God Delusion, he has an entire chapter that explains what it is, you know, where he stands. And his chapter is, I think, called Why There Is Almost Certainly No God.
Okay.
You know, he gives himself that little leeway, because, again, we can't prove, like, that negative. But you could say, look, I'm looking at all the evidence out there, and I don't see any evidence for it, so why not live our lives as if there is no God, you know?
Any fundamentalists that are involved with whatever camp they're involved with,
yeah,
have a personality type that drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Whether it's a conversation
with them.
No, exactly. And whether it's the Jesus, dumping Jesus guys who are all up in your grill about, I guarantee you and I promise this, and there is, and there is, and there is. I mean, where does faith come in? Faith's got to come in into, see, without
right.
faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Holy Scriptures say. And so, man, if you're that certain about it, this God stuff you believe,
right,
then you don't really have the need for faith, I think.
I think that's a great point to make, and I completely agree with you. One of the things, so I work with a group called the Secular Student Alliance, kind of like an umbrella organization for college atheist groups in America and some groups in Canada, too. One of the things we found is a lot of these, you know, atheists that are now coming together, they didn't know each other existed, but they're getting together on their campuses. And we encourage them to have dialogues with other religious groups on campus. And those things only work if you're talking to people, like you said, who have faith, but they don't necessarily have certainty. Because you can't dialogue with those people.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear what you have to say, because they're just going to stick to their guns and not even, you know, be open to the possibility that they could be wrong.
Listen, if you have a meeting, like let's compare two meetings here.
Yeah.
The Jesus people have a meeting, and they find out there's an agnostic in their midst.
Yeah.
And they want to
all kinda, of a sudden the target goes on their back.
Yeah, and they want to sell them, and they do it subtly with donuts and coffee. But they, you know, and now do you not have sort of a subtle agenda in your thing where you're like, okay, if you're an agnostic, I really would like you to kind of slip over to the dark side here, folks.
Well, I think we're much more open about what it is we do want to do, which is we want to have that dialogue. I mean, look, no doubt we'd like to persuade you that, you know, the religion...
Proselytize!
No doubt about
you're proselytizing!
That. Well, the difference, though, is, I mean, we're not subtle about it. Like you said, like, we're saying, look, come to our side and defend your position, because we want to hear it, and we want to poke holes in your argument. I mean, that is what we want to do. The difference, I think, is that when you go to those Christian groups, they're not as open about that, and they don't have those type of, they don't want to poke holes in your argument. They just want to say, look, here's the truth, and we're going to push it on to you.
Yeah.
We're not saying that at all. We're saying, look, if you want to bring your religious opinions to this dialogue, and I got to say, let me back up for a second. When a lot of these Secular Student Alliance groups have their dialogues and stuff, it's not necessarily about proving who's right and who's wrong. A lot of the dialogues that I've heard about include things like, you know, if you are an atheist, should you come out to your family? You know, how do you interact with other people? Can you date someone who is religious? You know, that goes beyond the question of who's right and wrong, and just, you know, you are an atheist. That's probably not going to change. So, but how do you deal with that in the real world?
Well,
I think
cool.
That's more of an interesting conversation.
Very cool.
You know? So
very cool.
I'm really proud of that.
There's a guy who wrote a book, Dr. Daniel Taylor, and he wrote The Myth of Certainty, and I've talked about this book a lot on the show. And the premise of this book is that doubt is more compatible to faith than certainty.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you have to, like you said, if you want to have faith, I mean, you can't be certain about it. And I think there's a lot of things that are in the world right now, just in terms of what we discover, what we find out, science-related and otherwise, that have to give people doubt
yeah.
about what their religious books say.
Jim Henderson says to say hello.
I say hello right back to Jim.
Apparently you guys still talk a couple times a year, maybe, something like that?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably more frequent than that. But, you know, there was actually, you know, he was on This American Life back in the fall, which is a show I love a lot. I mean, I see his name popping up in a lot of places, and it's always exciting to see that around. We kind of went our separate directions in terms of what we're working on.
Yeah.
But, no, we're still buddies. We may not talk as much because, you know, we kind of went our own ways. But, no, we're still on good terms and everything like that.
Okay, well, he gave me a question to ask you. You ready?
Go for it.
All right. Jim Henderson thinks of fundamentalists as anyone who is mean, bigoted, and, quote, persistently compares their best with your worst.
Hmm.
Using that definition, do you know any fundamentalist atheists?
Huh. You know, I'm sure there are a few out there. I know I don't interact with them that much. The people that I work with.
Well, you're the friendly atheist. You're not going to hang out with those the troublemakers.
I mean, I work with some of the biggest atheist organizations in the country, whether as a paying member or on a coalition for, you know, something like lobbying in Washington, D.C. for the rights of atheists. I work with the atheist names you're talking about, you know, or that people think you're talking about. I don't get that sense from them. I mean, we all know there are, you know, here's an example. There's some studies that have come out that have suggested, like, in terms of IQ, atheists tend to have higher IQs than religious people. I don't know of any atheists, you know, at least not the big name ones, not the ones that are running any of these organizations, that are going around saying, well, obviously religious people are stupid. Well, that's ridiculous. We know there are really smart religious people, and we know there are a lot of dumb...
They're just hard to find behind the rhetoric.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think some of the rhetoric can be really... what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of the rhetoric can be really off-putting to a lot of religious people. And I think that's what I try to stay away from on my website anyway.
Hammond, I was on a television show called Test the Nation here on CBC.
I heard about that.
What?
That's the quiz show where they had like the six groups or something.
Yeah, what do you mean you heard about that? Oh, because there was a team of atheists? That's why you heard about it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice. I thought it was all about me. I thought you were going to say, oh, I heard you were on that show, Drew. I follow your career. I think you're the best Christian I've ever met in my... No.
Well, that's besides the
yeah. Anyway, I was on the Believers team, and we were sitting right across from the atheists. And the host came over to me in the middle of the show and said, so how do you think you guys are doing? And we had a really smart, smart guy on our team named Michael Corn. He's one of the sharpest dudes in broadcasting in Canada for sure.
Uh-huh.
I said to the host, Strombo, he said, how do you think you guys are going to do? I said, I don't know, man, seriously. But we got Corn on our team, so we're going to beat the hell out of the atheists. And none of the atheists laughed.
Oh,
so
man.
Their IQs may be very high, but I find that atheists' sense of humor is just down the toilet, man. Seriously.
Yeah, that just depends on the group you're around. But how did you guys end up doing?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
All right.
No, we tied for fourth with who else was it? Do you remember Tim at all?
There were jocks. There were
the
atheists.
Contact sport athletes.
Uh-huh.
We tied with them. Which is not a really good. That's not a good thing.
So when you tie with four out of six, that, like, you're barely out of last place, dude.
Okay, let's move on from there. All right, listen. Last question I want to ask. It's kind of a hokey one. I wasn't even sure I was going to ask it.
All right.
Please trust me. Hopefully, you know me enough to know that there's no agenda behind this.
Okay.
But I would like, at the risk of coming across like somebody with a Bible tract in my hand wanting you to convert, I honestly want you to think about this. Have you ever totally imagined what life would be like should you sign on the dotted line to join the Jesus crowd?
Specifically Jesus crowd or religious crowd in general?
No, let's stay with Jesus crowd for now.
Okay.
Yeah, too broad to go the other way. Have you ever thought about that? Because I've thought about, you know, signing on your dotted line and what life would be like.
Yeah.
Many times. And I just thought, I wonder if Hemet has thought like I've thought, but the other way.
You know what? I have thought about it in terms, because, you know, when you visit all those churches, and I visited probably over 30 or 40 in the course of a year when I was doing all that project. Yeah, I mean, that question popped up in my head a lot. What if I did become a Christian all of a sudden? What would that mean for me? You know, and I think the biggest change is just in terms of the groups I work with. All of a sudden, I would have to shift I work at a school during the day. I teach at a high school. But everything I do outside of that really has to do with a lot of atheist groups, going, traveling to speak to atheist groups, going to conferences.
Yeah, but you could be like a Jesus spy, man.
Right. Well, that would pretty much have to either stop or I would have to, like you said, be the spy. And I would probably have to shift because I don't think I could just be a passive Christian. I would want to be someone who's totally into it because I'm just a passionate sort of person when it comes to that stuff.
And you know, the pathetic commentary on this, Hammett, is that a lot of Christians hang on to their faith purely because they're too scared, or the leap to whatever other group is out there is just so big that they can't imagine their social network crumbling around them. And unfortunately, that's just the pathetic commentary on this, is that so many, you ask them, why do you follow, you know, what you challenge them with maybe believing something else, or atheist, or agnostic, I don't know, whatever, and they go, no, because I'd lose my friends, and I wouldn't hang out with this group, and it would da-da-da-da-da. That's pathetic.
That's a horrible reason to stick with it. And I'm really excited that you're having, you mentioned David Hayward coming on, because he just left his church. It doesn't mean he's not a Christian.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to hear what he has to say about that, too. But I think you're right. I think, I mean, look, if you don't believe, or you do believe, so be it. You can't just stick with the lie just because, you know, because of the cultural aspects or because of the community there. It's not like, you know, it's not like the atheist community, for me, is the only one out there. But it is one I've definitely identified with. And I would hope that, you know, a Christian who wants to leave church knows that, you know, just because you leave that church, one, it doesn't mean you're leaving the people in that church. If they want to dismiss you because you don't agree with them anymore, I mean, hopefully, I don't know why you were friends to begin with.
Yeah.
But two, I mean, there are atheist communities out there, and I know there are good Christian communities out there that I would want to join if I ever changed my mind. And I know that wouldn't be a hard thing for me to do if I became religious. And I would hope they know that there are plenty of atheists out there who are welcoming to them if they ever change their minds.
Okay, I see, here I go again. This is why I go overtime. I've got another question I have to ask you, okay?
Yeah.
Sorry to do this. Being the friendly atheist,
mm-hmm.
I can sit here and say, man, you'd be a good hang, you know? Let's go grab a pint or something.
Right,
okay? But I don't know, Hitchens, I think I'd want to smote him.
Well, you know what?
Hold on. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Do the aggressive atheists out there, and I'm going to put Hitchens into that category,
okay,
more demonstrative, not necessarily as friendly as the friendly atheist, do you think those guys look at you and go, oh, give me a break? You're like the United Church Christian of the Christians. You're the let's all hug whale, kiss a tree atheist kind of guy. You know, let's all just gather around. And these other guys are like, dude, you need to grow some cojones, man. This is crazy.
Well, again, like I said, if they think I'm not as strong of an atheist as they are, I mean, man, they don't know me. But here's the thing, though. I think one of the questions I get asked a lot is, you know, why aren't you more of, I guess, for lack of better words, why aren't you more of a jerk to the religious community?
Yeah.
Or definitely, why aren't you just critical all the time with everything that they do? I think the biggest thing, I think the best way to respond to that is, look, in every belief system like this, every system like that, you're going to have people who are very strong about it, where there's, you know, no holds barred, there's no chance for leeway there. And there are some people who are going to be much more open to that idea, much, like you said, more of the type of guy you'd be willing to have a beer with. And I think you really do need all those types. Some people are really going to latch on to what Hitchens is saying. Some people are going to latch on to the type of thing I'm going for lot more.
You realize you're quoting scripture.
That's what I try to do in my daily life.
No, because you're talking about, basically what we talk about is the body of Christ. There are many parts to the body. Some churches or some Christian groups are like the armpit of Christ. Personally, I think they stink, but they still serve a purpose.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not like, and to be fair, like, I actually like a lot of what Hitchens says, but there are atheists out there who do things that I'm not particularly happy with, and it's not like I'm silent about that. I openly admit I don't like what they're doing, and I try to encourage people to not join in with what they're doing because I'm not proud of it. But that doesn't mean I don't agree with their ultimate goal, which is to say, look, we got to convince people that, you know, they're wrong about what they believe in God.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not denying that. I like that they're trying to do something to get people to think critically about their faith. But it doesn't mean I have to like their tactics. It doesn't mean I have to like their rhetoric. And what I want to see, one thing that bothers me is when I hear, like you're saying, there's this body of Christ, some people are, you know, fundamentalists. Some people are much more open about that sort of dialogue. I don't tend to hear a lot of those moderates, those more liberal Christians, ever criticizing the fundamentalists. I feel that's always coming from my side. You know, when Pat Robertson says something stupid, obviously you got a lot of people who are going to go against him. But I don't feel like I hear enough other Christians saying that other people in the body of Christ are doing things that are just absolutely ridiculous.
Every Saturday, 1 to 5, right here on Joy 1250 and streaming live
you,
at drewmarshall.ca.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, Hemant Mehta is who we've been chatting with. He is the Friendly Atheist, and his website is friendlyatheist.com. If you would like to engage, if you would like to see what he's doing, what the group is talking about, get in there in the comments section or whatever. It's not a place to get down and dirty and get scrapping, but it is a place to be open and honest and truthful with each other. Straight up.
Thanks so much, Drew. That's exactly it.
All right, Hemant, I appreciate your time. We're going to get to David Hayward up next here on The Drew Marshall Show. Take care, buddy.
You too, man.
Coming up next is The Naked Pastor. Quite looking forward to this discussion. After 25 years, David stepped down from ministry and stepped out of ministry. So we're going to find out what is going on in this man's life. And then after that, from the right, Tim Challies. He's described maybe as, let's see, conservative, Calvinist, Reformed, and then from the left, maybe described as liberal, emergent, non-orthodox, Spencer Burke. But up next, David Hayward. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
He's been a guest on CBC's Test the Nation and the Global Comedy Fest in Vancouver.
He's the first Christian radio host invited to speak at the Canadian Association of Broadcasters annual conference.
He's an improv and stand-up comedy student at Second City in Toronto.
He paid an atheist and a pagan to go to church.
And he's known simply as The God Guy on Q107 in Calgary.
After more than 7 years, Drew Marshall is known as the Howard Stern of Christian radio because of his brutal honesty and the fact that he'll interview people others won't.
Like the high priest of the Church of Satan or the leader of Canada's polygamous colony.
He's also interviewed everyone from blues icon B.B. King to television icon Kathy Lee Gifford, from shock rocker Alice Cooper to the godfather of soul James Brown.
And two of Canada's most recognized faces, Don Cherry and Stephen Harper.
Unpredictable.
Provocative.
Genuine.
To book Drew Marshall as a guest speaker or master of ceremonies, go to drewmarshall.ca.